Hello and welcome to the Home Uplink Podcast. Today's December 6th, 2021.
Yeah.
Monday.
We're in December.
We're in December now. Almost the end of the year. Almost 2022.
Crazy.
You know, can't wait to be the funny guy that says, see you next year.
Yep.
You know, can't wait to be that guy.
Yeah, when you're leaving the building. Ooh. See you next year.
Quite the jokesters.
So funny.
But.
Today,
we're going to be talking about something rather interesting. Just came out earlier today, about 7 hours ago. And it's a this interesting new regulation they're trying to come up with that the Treasury Department is looking to enact. Which would have quite the impact on the real estate market when it came to cash buyers.
Yes.
And what, you know, just a quick little, 30 seconds or less here. They're looking to create a, and expand as well, the reporting requirements on all cash real estate deals. They say it's to help crack down on bad actors' use of the United States market to launder money made through illicit activity. Now, for anybody who doesn't know, normally when a company, a shell company, quote unquote, purchases a property in cash, they don't have to report who owns the company. It's just a company that owns the property.
Yeah, it's the shell corporation.
So in some cities, in 14 cities, they have to. And those 14 cities are Boston, Chicago, Dallas-Fort Worth, Honolulu, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Miami, New York City, San Antonio, San Diego, San Francisco, and Seattle.
Okay.
Now, if you don't live in any of those cities, if you have a shell corporation and you purchase property, residential property in cash, over $300,000, you don't have to worry about your the ownership of the company being called into question.
Correct.
Right. Now I get the whole they're saying that this is to crack down on money laundering and the potential for outside countries to come in and use their funding to purchase property, and it's going to be, they're using it as a money laundering scheme for outside countries and whatnot. I don't work for the Treasury Department, or funnily enough, people don't know this, the Secret Service also, when it comes to like money laundering and stuff, is that's their deal. But what I will say is that when somebody comes to buy real estate, whether it's a shell corporation or a person, if somebody wanted to purchase property in the United States of America and not be known, it's very simple. It's very simple. Because all you have to do is register a business. I'm not here to give you illicit information, but it's very simple. There's a state in the United States of America that allows you to stay anonymous when you create a business. And if you register your business there, you're anonymous. So, you know, this doesn't really curb that at all. this whole thing is kind of silly. When I was reading through it, it just kind of seems like they're trying to piece together, a way of knowing every person that purchases property over $300,000 in cash.
Well, right. Just like they're trying to lower, you know, the amount that you can leave in a trust, from 5 million to 1 million, you know, and just like how they tried to, I don't know why, but tried to, you know, make it a transactional encounter if you deposited, I believe it was $500.
$600. Anything over $600. Anything
over $600 into your personal account needed to be...
the IRS would look at it.
The IRS. So, I mean, like...
I mean, like, this... Okay, let's, you know, break it down, right? You've got them going, we got to see $600 in your bank account.
Them saying you put $601 in your bank account.
Yes.
Where did that money come from? Because we need to tax you on it or figure out how to get a hold of a portion of that. It's like, yeah, you could have easily made $600 doing, I don't know, anything really. I mean, $600.
Well, why $600? A person may not know this. You have to fill out a W-9.
Yes.
If you make any more than $600. So if you make $700, you're supposed to be filling out a W-9 so that both parties pay taxes on the on the money, right? Now, under the table businesses don't often have their employees fill out W-9s for the money they make, right?
Because they're not being taxed due to the fact that they might not have information that they could legally be taxed.
There's a lot of reasons, right?
Yes.
So the whole the reasoning behind that is, you know, they want to be able to check and see how much money a person's making, and they want to be able to tax down to the dollar and the dime. Now, this is weird because it comes at a time where in real estate, they're kind of tightening the belt. I mean, we've talked about this a few times in the past where, you know, lending limits have been brought towards people buying investment properties or loans.
Well, yeah, they basically, the government said you can only give so many percentage of your loans out to actual second home or investment properties,
anything like that. So if you aren't purchasing, so here's the whole thing, that this is the whole scheme that I see, which is kind of weird. You know, they tightened the belt and said you aren't allowed to the banks, the lenders. They said you aren't allowed to loan out a certain amount. You can only say this many properties can be lended to. And with it being, okay, so, hey, you've got all these FHA loans, all these conventional loans, all these people who are interested in purchasing property. Now, this is their first home. Now, they take priority.
Yes.
Every second property, every investment property, everything after that now is in second in line, right? And then they said every year you have this limitation and you have to basically loan out the way we say you can loan out, right? Now that stipulation was made earlier this year, right? So now you have this stipulation that says, hey, we're only going to allow people to own, you know, we're kind of tightening it on second homes and investment properties, right? Through our lending tactics. Then they say, you know, we also want to know money going in and out.
Yes.
And then they go also now, hey, we want to know every single all cash transaction that's processed in the United States of America over $300,000 in residential real estate, no matter what. We want to know about it. We want to know who did it, how they did it, and with what money they did it with.
Correct.
Right. And it's like, okay, so this kind of, you know, we've talked time and time again about this, but it's like, if you didn't want to have a problem with the real estate market, you wouldn't keep poking it with a stick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's one thing to say, all right, well, prices are at an all-time high. Some places are cooling down. You know, there's this, lending limits, or, you know, the amount of people who are looking and getting pre-qualified right now is like in the dumpster.
Yep.
It's gone down so heavily. So many people have stopped looking. So many people have stopped getting pre-qualified, you know, and it's like, oh, well, everybody's buying in all cash. And it's like, well, yes, but not everywhere.
No.
And also not enough that every property, there's not enough money for every property to be paid for fully in cash. Okay. So it's this weird compounding effect, because you've got all these people who've stopped looking. So the market has been quote unquote cooling, but not cooling, as all the things I've read say. And then you have all these people who are like, oh, we're going to make it as hard as possible for somebody to purchase a property in all cash as an investment or a second home, or just in all cash, right? It's like, okay, it's one thing to say, all right, we want to make housing more affordable, more attainable for people. So we're trying to, you know, make it harder for people to own more than one house so that everyone can own one house, right? Everyone has one place to live. Some people don't have two or three or multiple places to live, right?
Correct.
You know, sure, that sounds great on paper, but the problem is every other person, you know, if a person's not in real estate, they may not understand that investors also drive the market the same way normal buyers do.
Yeah, because
A sale's a sale. So for these people to go, oh, well, we're just going to cut out investors and cut out people who want to own multiple properties or, you know, own them and rent them out, et cetera, to cut them out of the market or make it, you know, marginally harder for them to acquire property, that's going to also slow down the real estate market. So not only do you have people who are sitting there going, oh, hey, I'm not going to look anymore because prices are too high, and I'm not going to get pre-qualified for, you know, I'll wait 6 months, a year, you know, however long, and I'll figure it out until then. I'll just keep renting this apartment or house I've been renting for the past 2 years, whatever, yep. Right? Yep. And then you have the people who are going, hey, can I get a conventional loan on this investment property? And, you know, sometimes their mortgager is going to go, well, no, I actually don't have the ability to, you know, I've already done all my second home / investment loans, right? I can't lend out anymore for that. I have to wait until next month. And you go, okay, well, that, you know, I'm going to lose the property then, because either somebody else is going to purchase it, or it's going to, well, you know, might sit on the market for that long, right? Which now, if it sits on the market for that long, that's going to slowly start turning things.
Yep.
Because you've got decrease in buyers on both ends, properties staying on the market for longer. What does that come down to? Supply and demand slowing down.
Yep.
Prices going down.
Yep.
Equity being lost in property. I mean, it's like, you know, at a certain point, it's almost like they are trying for things to, you know, kind of occur at this point. I mean, back 10 months ago, it was like, oh, we got to do everything we can to keep the real estate market going. You know, the moratorium was still going. They had the semblance or the idea that the money they gave for, you know, rent payments was even close to how much was lost, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Trying to keep people in properties, trying to keep value up, trying to keep the humdrum of real estate going. But now it's just like, all right, so you're just trying to tie everyone's hands, basically. I mean, the only person's hands who haven't been tied yet is the, you know, the FHA buyer, basically.
Yeah.
That's the only person that hasn't had their hands tied.
They've actually gotten increased.
But, you know, because their credit limit, the credit limit for an FHA loan went down. But the only problem for FHA loans is that the price is so high on property. Normally a person who's getting a first-time home buyer, an FHA loan, they're not sitting there able to pay the price of a property right now.
No.
So it's
especially if rates start ticking up like what they've started to do.
Yeah, it's like, so they've, you know, rates have already started to increase. So somebody who's got a 3% down loan, they're not going to be able to pay, you know, higher prices than 2006, right? It's like the property was worth $180,000 three years ago, and now it's, $350,000. You know, well, that's quite the hard pill to swallow.
Yeah.
Because then you go, oh, well, you know, now the rates are ticking up and, you know, sooner or later, in probably 3.5%, you know, you may be looking at something closer to a 4%. You know, who knows? It's just,
yeah,
it's not up to any of us to decide, but
nope,
that's just how it is. And it, you know, if rates increase, an FHA loan is a lot less interesting looking.
Yeah.
Because you go, oh, well, I'm going to have a 97% loan and then I'm going to be paying this huge interest rate on it. I'm basically going to be paying 2.5 houses off at that point.
Yep.
Is it really worth me going and buying an overvalued property?
Probably not.
With a higher increased FHA interest rate on my FHA loan? Probably not. I mean, I would advise against it personally. I wouldn't do that.
No.
I would tell somebody probably not to do that as well. Unless, of course, whatever dire circumstances, you know, but it's just an odd, it was something I had read over this morning. It just came out, and it's just an odd occurrence for this to come out, especially, I mean, it's around the holidays. People aren't really paying attention to the real estate market. Most people know this is the worst month for real estate.
Yeah.
Ever.
November and December are the slowest months for real estate.
So, you know, kind of pumping. It's kind of one of those things where it seems like, you know, oh, let's put these things through when nobody's paying much attention to the real estate market. And then when it comes back to life in March, you know, oh, wait, what's that? What's that again?
Right.
So I can't wait. You're full? You don't have any more lending for investment properties or second homes?
Yeah. So nope. Where do I go?
Where do I go? Nowhere?
Nowhere.
Is there another mortgager that has openings? I don't know. You're going to have to ask around town.
Yep.
It's like, okay, great. Awesome. I get to go get pre-qualified by somebody else, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Who's got availability for me?
Yeah. And then it's like, well, hopefully the property's still there by the time I get pre-qualified by someone else.
Right.
And then it's like, all right, well, and then you have all these companies that come in and I mean, I don't know, I'm not the first person to tell you, but private equity companies are huge when it comes to buying property.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know how they operate. I mean, they don't operate very much in the markets that are listed. That's what I know, you know, that I listed off earlier. San Francisco isn't really an investment town. Las Vegas kind of used to be, not really anymore. Houston, Dallas, Fort Worth, you know, those places, they're kind of, LA, I guess, perhaps, but if someone's going to buy property for an investment sake or just buy land, buy whatever, there's other places they're going to purchase it instead,
yeah.
Which kind of limits those cities because it's like, you're going to be taking dollars away from the real estate market in those cities already. It's going to be an interesting case if it actually ends up happening everywhere in the United States, because then at that point it's like it's going to be a detrimental impact into most places.
They're going to have places that resist that. Obviously, I mean the people in certain areas are going to understand how if they're having an outside shell corporation who's coming in to spend their money on property cash. Doesn't affect their daily life, and it really only affects the overall government and who and what and why they want to find out who's spending the money.
I mean,
I get that, you know, the government wants to know who's doing what and where and why and how, you know, and I get it. That's always been the government. I mean, the government has always been on the offense of trying to figure out where money's coming from. But to put restrictions on cash is just another terrible idea. Just in my opinion, one of the worst ideas you could actually do. Because then again, it's going to go down to, so when they figure out that there's some sort of transaction over $300,000 and they don't like the company that's purchasing it, or they don't like the individual, let's say,
is
at a shell corporation and has been, you know, saving up to use it to buy a cash transaction, they're going to just come down with a tax. They're going to start implementing some sort of property tax, cash buy property tax or something. And it's going to come across the board as, you know, over a certain threshold. And so what's going to happen is everybody's going to try and be under that threshold.
Yeah. And here's the thing that I was just thinking to myself, you know, everybody always finds a way around, you know, it's like a 1031 exchange is a thing for a reason, right?
Yeah.
Boots are a thing for a reason. People always find a way around regulations and taxation, right? whether it's keeping money in property, whether it's, you know, using, you know, taking a property and exchanging it for another property and cash, and then the cash is, you know, lower than a certain amount, so it's, you know, you can write it off, or you know, the you know, your property over time devalues because of just degradation, you know, the property, and you can use that as a tax basis to lower yours. I mean, you basically use it as a tax write-off to for your investment properties. There's a lot of ways that people do that. Now, you know, I can think of some ways somebody would say, all right, well, this property would be $1 million, but in reality, what I'm going to do is parse it out and sell, you know, it's a 5-acre property, and I'm going to sell each acre for $200,000. But you're going to purchase the entirety of the land. You're buying all of it, but you're buying it in 5 separate transactions of $200,000.
Correct.
And it's like, there's just tons of ways that it's just going to be more convoluted.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, red tape like this never leads to,
easier transactions.
Yeah. Easier transactions, easier for anybody. It's like, you know, it's one thing to say, all right, great. You've got the Lead Paint Act. Sure. Awesome. You know, you've got, you know, asbestos notices. Great. Awesome. You know, all these things that the, you know, government regulations and all the stuff that you need to know about when it comes to purchasing a property, when it comes to health, right? And the oversight from the government when it comes to health on those things, right? It's great, because some people may not know that after a certain year, you know, the property has a higher chance of having lead-based paint, something like that, right? That's good oversight, right? It's to help better the people's lives who are going to purchase a property to make sure they know everything about it.
Absolutely.
But sometimes, you know, I'm not sitting here saying that regulations are bad, but sometimes it's just opening the door to more problems that they didn't really have in mind. Because people will always find a way to get around the system.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like maybe you're closing the door on one avenue and then kind of swinging. It's like to me, it's a revolving door, not so much a closed and open door, right? It's like, okay, well, they're just going to wait and then they'll be back around, you know. You just got to keep going around for a few more seconds and then they'll be back out, you know. So whether or not this is a way of stopping corrupted, you know, from the article saying corrupted officials, or, you know, people using it as money laundering schemes, or outside, you know, prime ministers purchasing property in the United States or other countries purchasing property because it's a safe bet and, you know, the economy's, you know, safe enough that they feel safe taking their ill-gotten gains and bringing them here. You know, that may be the case. I mean, but at a certain point, like I said, they're always going to find a way. Nothing's going to really stop somebody from doing that.
Yeah.
You know, it only makes it harder for other people, because the more regulations on the day-to-day, you know, purchaser, is more things they have to deal with when it comes to a transaction, when it's already, for the most part, people getting into real estate, you know, and people, especially first-time buyers, is a lot. Real estate is a lot.
It is.
In 2021, there's a lot that goes into a real estate transaction for somebody who's new, right? You know, they have to sit there, get pre-qualified. They have to sit there. Okay, they find the property, purchase agreement, title company, escrow opens, you know, escrow deposit.
Inspections.
They got to do all these things. Insurance, homeowner's insurance. You know,
request for repairs.
Yeah. If there's an HOA, you know, HOA estoppel, that sort of thing, you know, trash, power, water, all those things, right? Cable provider, all of these moving parts when it comes to getting a property, right? And then it's like, oh yeah, all these other things too. Maybe if we add in a few more things, 5, 10 more, right? Yeah. Does that make the transaction easier for everyone? It's like, no, but at the end of the day, here we are. And, you know, nothing's better than making it harder on everyone.
Yeah.
You know,
I love to make things more difficult than they need to be.
Yeah.
I think everybody here
can agree with that.
Completely agrees upon that because it's just great. It's great to be able to make things harder.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody can agree that everybody listening and every person who's purchased property would rather it be much, much harder to do.
I agree. But on that note, we want to thank everybody for stopping on Monday. We're definitely going to watch this more closely because this information that was just announced this morning is definitely pretty important, especially on the cash purchases. And, you know, there's a lot of very smart people out there. Obviously, see this as a little bit of red tape, but there is also very smart people on the other side who will figure out different ways of maneuvering through this red tape. So, you know, the administration always has new ideas. They don't necessarily work or they don't necessarily get passed through or whatnot, but just interesting that, you know, the current administration is focusing solely on real estate transactions, and that's pretty
I mean, it's you know, taxable base, that sort of thing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But, you know, again, thank you again for a very, very, very nice weekend. Everybody who stopped by and checked out all the open houses. We had about 900-plus open houses this last weekend flow through the site with turn-by-turn directions and direct contact and all that good stuff. So, again, check out homeuplink.com. Check out the app. Check everything out. Or the podcast, if you're already listening to it. But, you know, check it out and, you know, find open houses in your area. And then if you have any questions, please email them at admin@homeuplink.com. And we would love to answer some questions on there.
Yeah. Thanks for coming by and listening again. See ya. Well, hear ya. Well, you won't hear me, but I won't hear you. See you next time.
See you next time.